turn to Psalm chapter 94. Psalm chapter 94. And please don't worry about the time. I promise I'm going to get you out in a timely fashion. Psalm chapter 94. I want you to turn to verse number 14. Psalm 94, verse number 14. Stand with me if you would, please. Psalm chapter 94, verse number 14. The Bible says this, "For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it." Verse number 16. "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up." And Psalm chapter 94, verse number 19, is the verse from which the sermon will come. It says, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." And let's pray. Father, bless us. Help us tonight that we would be encouraged, and then help us, Lord, to encourage others. Thank you that the Scripture tells us that you provide comfort. And might we take advantage of the comfort that you provide. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Verse number 19 there, it said, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." I simply call the sermon tonight this. Comfort. Comfort. It is David that God used to pen these words. And if you were listening to what David said, "My mind is packed full of thoughts, and my mind is packed full of concerns." Then he said, "But God is providing comfort in regard to all those thoughts." And I think in essence what David's trying to say is, my mind is overloaded with concerns right now. And my mind is a bit overwhelmed with all the heartaches and the burdens that are coming on me. And David is saying, I was in need of comfort. Now folks, let me tell you something. Often we express joy on the outside, and we come to church and we'll smile, but let's face it, one can come to church and smile, and one can express joy on the outside, but there can be a lot of turmoil going on in the brain and in the heart. And I think we all as Christians, we come to church to encourage each other, and we want to smile, and we don't want to cause somebody else to get down, but there's no doubt in my mind. There are people that are walking into church, and they're trying to do well and have a good attitude, but their mind is busy, and they're wondering about, how am I going to get through all this, and oh, what's next? And what do I face tomorrow? I think David was facing some of that. That's why he said, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." The multitude of thoughts had created for David a need of comfort. Maybe we could put it this way. Maybe David could have said, "As my numerous thoughts jostled against each other like chariots on the street of my mind, thy comforts then delighted my soul." If you were anywhere around when Hurricane Florence was coming in and moving around, there were traffic jams everywhere. I mean, there were traffic jams, and I'll tell you, what made it worse was because people were a little bit panicked and not thinking well. Well, you were having fender benders here and there, and people pulling off the side of the road, and it just got worse and worse. And it created some chaos. One of our supply trucks that was coming in as we were trying to bring in some disaster relief was having a real hard time getting here because there were traffic jams everywhere. And there were cars stalled. And you know something, though? In our minds and in our hearts, we tend to have some emotional traffic jams. Boy, something like the hurricane happens, and all of a sudden your mind's going 100 different ways. You have children to take care of. You have bills to pay. You got a car to attend to. You've got a house to attend to. You've got a business to attend to. You've got all your responsibilities of life. You had previous plans, and you were supposed to be somewhere, and you had appointments, and there's loss, and your friend is hurting, and you're hurting, and a family member's hurting, and you've not been well, and oh my. And it all comes upon you. And there's a little part of you that just says there's an emotional traffic jam going on. And all of these concerns are piling up. And I almost feel like we're playing bumper cars with my emotions. And I think that's somewhat what David was saying. thoughts. David was saying, my thoughts within me are, it's almost as there's an emotional 100-car pile up and I'm not real sure what to do. Now, moms can face that in life. You moms know what you're raising children. There are just so many emotions that can come, and your children's safety and their well-being and their training, and dads and husbands face it because there are bills to pay, and there's an element of safety that a man tries to provide, and churches can feel it. Now, you got to understand, it was King David that was saying all of this. Now, see, David was the king of Israel. He was being used to write the Psalms. He had enemies everywhere. You know, when David conquered Goliath the Philistine, you do understand then the Philistines, they had a contract out on David's life from that time forward. Just like the President of the United States. Once a president's been president, he has bodyguards for the rest of his life because there are people that would like to kill him for the rest of his life. Well, David had taken out Goliath, and the Philistines from that day forward said, that's the one guy we'd like to take out. Well, David is king, and he's writing the Psalms, and he's got enemies everywhere, and he's heading up an army. And David had some children, had some struggles with those children, and David had a struggle in his marital relationship. And there were other personal issues that you and I don't even know of. And I picture David, when he's writing this Psalm and God is leading him, David saying, man, I got all sorts of things going on in my head emotionally, and the burdens and the heartaches, and they're just coming at me. And he said, I really need a little help to make it through this thing. But then he uses these words. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And David said, I had all that going on in the inside, but God was able to comfort me. I don't think David was wanting to give up. I don't think David was wanting to quit. At this time, David doesn't say, I just quit. I don't want to go on. No, he wanted to go on. But there was an emotional traffic jam going on for David internally. And he said, God brought comfort to my soul. I think God was saying, God's comfort helped me to get some levity in this whole thing. God's comfort helped me to get some joy and to laugh. And God's comfort took some pressure off of my soul, and God's comfort brought some rejoicing to me and some happiness to me. God's comfort came, and during this emotional traffic jam, God was able to settle me and comfort me. Now, folks, in the last week and a half or so in our community, in our church, and in your lives, it's been hectic. One of our very, very organized, scheduled men sent me a text today. He said, preacher, it felt so good today for everything just to be back to normal, back to our routine, back to schedule. Why? Because there is security in routine. And boy, when everything gets all jostled all over the place, we just feel like we're, you ever seen a dog chasing its own tail? Just going around in circles, and you wonder if you're getting anywhere. I don't know how many people told me, said, I've been so busy and I'm totally wore out, but I don't know how much I got done. Because you just felt like there's so much going on, and you all know what I mean. You're trying to help yourself and help your family and help somebody else and encourage somebody, and you're thinking, goodness, I don't know about work. What does tomorrow hold? How am I going to pay my bills? Where are my bills? I don't even know where they're at. And oh my, all that's going on. Now, let me very, very simply talk to you for a moment about comfort. David was going through a time of emotional internal anguish. He said, but God comforted and brought delight to my soul. May I tell you, first of all, folks, let the Word of God comfort you. Let the Word of God comfort you. Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2 says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, what's that talking about? Lying down in green pastures and the still waters is a picture of comfort. The water might have been rough, but it's calmed. And the wind may have been blowing, but it's calmed. And God can bring us comfort. Now, how will God bring us comfort? He brings us comfort through His Word. Listen to this. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. God just said, the Bible will calm you. The Bible will comfort you. Now, folks, don't make a mistake. You've been super busy helping people, helping yourself. You have to take time to read your Bible. Look, if you're frantic, pull your car over. You say, what should I do? Just get your Bible out and read. Why? The Bible says there is comfort in the Scripture. You say, Pastor, you just think the Bible's the answer for everything, don't you? You guessed her, Chester. I certainly do. The Bible is what Jesus was, and Jesus was God come in the flesh. And God is where we get our comfort. Make sure you stay in your Bible. I'm glad the Bible's true. I know the Bible brings comfort. I know the Bible will comfort me. It will keep me sane. It will keep my nerves from being on edge. It stills my mind. The Bible organizes the emotional traffic jam in my mind, and it brings my emotions to a place of peace. And folks, in your busyness and the burden of facing the storm and the fallout thereof, stay in your Bible. You know, Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, talks about Jesus Christ being the Prince of Peace. Well, what was He? He was the Word of God. And folks, you say, Preacher, I feel like my mind is about to explode. Then get to the Word of God. It will take care of that explosion, and it doesn't have to happen. The Bible says in Isaiah 54, verse 7, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Here God's promising to protect you. The Bible says in Psalm 81:10, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. You know what? That's a verse of God's promise to take care of us and meet our needs. You need to run to God for comfort. Someone asked John Wesley, a great preacher from years gone by, he said, how much do you pray every day, Preacher Wesley? And he said, 2 hours. They said, I am way too busy to pray 2 hours a day. And Wesley said, I have way too much to do to not pray 2 hours a day. Now, folks, let me tell you something. You need to get into your Bible and you need to pray. You say, but Pastor, I've got a mess at my house and I've got so much to do and things have fallen apart and things are in chaos. You know what will keep things from spinning? The anchor, the Word of God. So don't ignore your Bible right now. Stay in the Word of God. Look, you'll better help people if you are established, if you are anchored, and you'll get anchored through the Word of God. You'll lose it if you're not anchored down. Get in your Bible. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit of God to comfort you. John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is called our comforter. You know, I think the thing that I've asked God to do over and over and over again throughout this day was that you all would leave church day and you'd say, it was just pleasant at church and it was peaceful. And I knew God was there, and I felt like God was comforting me and strengthening me. Oh, that's what I wanted today. You know, it's the Holy Spirit of God that accomplishes that. You have a spirit, but His spirit's better than yours. I have a spirit, but His spirit is better than mine. And folks, we can help each other with our attitudes, but there's no better attitude than the supernatural attitude of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to get into our Bibles, and we need to let then the Holy Spirit comfort. John 14:26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, of whom the Father will send in my name. In John 15:26, it says, but when the Comforter is come. In John 16:7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. You say, Preacher, I feel like I'm about to crack up. Well, you don't have to. Just ask the Holy Spirit to bring comfort to your soul. I pray to the Holy Spirit every single service that we have. You hear me pray, and I say, Holy Spirit of God, help us in this service. If you ever have a counseling session with me, I always pray during the counseling session and say, Holy Spirit of God, help us. Did you know the Holy Spirit can help you more than Dr. Oz? Or Mari, is that how you say it? Mori or Mari or whatever his name is. The Holy Spirit can comfort you. I don't know how this happened. Many, many years ago, I would wake up in the morning, and this is what I'd say. I'd wake up in the morning, and the first thing I say is, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's get started." Every day, he's the first person I speak to. And then Mrs. Owens gets up about 4 or 5 hours later, and then I talk to her. Many times during the day, I say to the Holy Spirit, "Help me. Strengthen me." You know something? I want to be a comfort to you. If I talk to you, if I'm trying to help you, I want to comfort you. I can't do that with my own personality. But the Holy Spirit of God can use me as a tool to do that. I learned from my old pastor and mentor. He preached a sermon called Fresh Oil, and he used to talk about how he would set his, he had a, in his day, it was a advanced technology, but he had an alarm on his clock, on his wristwatch. People don't wear wristwatches much anymore, and I know that, but on your telephone. But 7 times a day, he would set an alarm to go off on his wristwatch. And 7 times a day, because it is the number of completion or perfection, 7 times a day he would stop and say, "Holy Spirit, I submit myself to you." Alarm would go off again later in the day, and he'd say, "Holy Spirit, I submit myself to you." You know something, folks? There's sometimes that we don't need fellowship with each other. We need fellowship with the Spirit of God. And if you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure anybody could say anything to me right now that would comfort me." The Holy Spirit of God could, though. What human beings can't do, God can do. So if you say, "I need comfort," hey, and people out there in our community, if they need comfort, they need the Word of God. If they need comfort, they need the Spirit of God. And if you say, "Well, I'm not sure they're even saved," then you need the Spirit of God so you can work with them and make a difference in their life. Did you know there's nobody in here that's available 24/7, 365 days a year, but the Holy Spirit of God is always available? There's comfort from the Spirit of God. There's comfort from the Word of God. And then there's comfort from the people of God. I think we should comfort one another. I think we should care about one another. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." Tychicus was a comforter. You know, what a unique thing. God, in His triune being, the Holy Spirit, is called the Comforter. But here, Tychicus is called a Comforter. What a compliment. That man had a way about him and probably was filled with the Spirit of God. And therefore, someone said, "This guy's he's a Comforter." Tychicus was sent to the people of Colossae to comfort them. Brother Earl, isn't that our goal? Isn't it to reach out and help people and somehow to bring some comfort to them? Let me ask you a question. Are you a people comforter? Or are you the kind of person that trouble people? You bring trouble to people's lives and emotions? I want to be a comforter. Get to people and comfort them. I'll tell you this also. You need to learn who the comforters are in your life. Most of us know who the ones that don't comfort are. You know, I mean, if you're going through a tough time, there's some people you're thinking, "I don't want to talk to them right now. I don't want to be around them right now. They have a way of taking the most positive thing and making it look negative. I don't want to talk to them." But I'll tell you, you ought to know who those people are in your church and in your life that comfort you. And when you need that comfort, don't be afraid to reach out to them. Let them comfort you. There are people that are calming people and positive people and Holy Spirit-filled people. I'll tell you something. The sincerity of children just comforts me incredibly. You see Goldie's little girl on that video clip that we seen a moment ago when she was holding that bottle of water. I don't know about you, just that picture had a purity and a comfort to it. Folks, you know, we're to be like that as the children of God. It ought to be that people see in us that purity and that comfort, and they ought to just see a sincerity in us. Think of people that bring comfort and let them bring that comfort. Hey, let's calm one another. Let's not make things worse, but let's make things better. Positive people comfort me. Loving people comfort me. Loyal people to God and to the cause of God, that comforts me. Satisfied people bring comfort. If you get around dissatisfied people, they'll make you miserable. If everything they have is not enough, that'll make you miserable. But you get around people that are satisfied, that brings comfort. Hey, servant-type people bring comfort, don't they? You just get around somebody that wants to serve. I love something that Cynthia said. We, for days and for hours on end, people were working here and packing grocery bags full of groceries and getting water ready. And she said it was a delight. Nobody was trying to be the boss. Everybody was just trying to serve. You know, while everybody here was busy, we were comforting one another. Just comforting. That's how it ought to be. You see, David, he said, in my mind and in my heart, it's just like there's an emotional pileup taking place, and I need something. And God came along and said, David, I can help you. I can comfort you. And David said his comfort brought delight to my soul. And the Bible teaches that comfort comes from the Word of God, and that comfort comes from the Spirit of God, and that comfort comes from the people of God. Let me give you one other idea about comfort, and then we'll be done. I want you to find strength and comfort in the fact that Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And the words just prior to that, Jesus said, I'm coming again. I'm going to come with a shout, the voice of the archangel. I'm coming and I'm going to get you out of this mess. Do you know that 95% of the people that go to see a psychiatrist are probably wasting their money? If they just let the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God get saved and know they're going to heaven when the rapture comes, that'd calm most of the things and the issues of life down. Allow God's grace and God's peace to be demonstrated in your life. Folks, Jesus is coming again. And the whole reason I bring this up is there will come a day when there will be no more storms. There'll be no more storms. As I said in Wednesday night's sermon, as I said in this morning's sermon, folks, we're going to have storms. There's no way to avoid storms. From now until we get to heaven, there's going to be storms. But when Jesus comes again, there's coming a day. We're going to be transferred off of this globe. We'll be taken to heaven. And the storms are going to stop. Look forward to that. Until then, let's serve Him. But let the rapture and the coming of Christ comfort your soul. Those of you that face illnesses and you're in pain, Jesus is coming again. It will end someday. Those of you that have lost loved ones and they've passed on before and your heart is heavy. And folks, you know, when we lose loved ones, there's a lot of support that comes to us immediately for a couple of weeks and then everybody forgets. But we still remember every Thanksgiving because there's an empty seat at the table. Those of you that are in pain and you still are grieving the loss of a loved one, let me tell you something. There's coming a day when you'll be reunited with those loved ones. There's coming a day when the illness will stop. We look at the behavior in America, and you've heard people say this. Hey, look, God has passed judgment on countries in years gone by because they were so wicked. If God does not judge America, He will have to apologize to some of those nations in the past that He did judge. But look, there's coming a day when even we're going to get out of the mess that America has created for herself. You say, I worry about the future. Well, I understand that concern about the future, but look beyond what you call the immediate future and look to the imminent future, which is Jesus is coming again. You say, preacher, I just have fears and the fear of being alone and the fear of the pain that my body goes through. Jesus is coming again. I can't tell you when, but He's coming again and there'll be no more storms. The comfort of God is available to us. Get to His Word and let it comfort you. Get to His Spirit. Did you know, I wrote it down in here and I kind of passed right over it. When I was looking at the thought of the Holy Spirit of God, you know, basically, when you look at the word comfort and the Holy Spirit, it means He is our emotional tranquilizer. And that comfort's available through the Holy Spirit. And folks, let you and I comfort each other. And then know that someday there'll be no more storms and we'll be in heaven. That should bring comfort to us. Now, let's go out and tell a lot of people how to get that comfort. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that are not saved, and you talk about the second coming of Jesus or the rapture, if you will. They're not comforted by the thought. They don't understand it. That's why we've got to get salvation to the lost. That way they can have the same comfort we have. Lost people don't understand the Word of God. Lost people don't have the Holy Spirit of God living within them. Lost people don't have the family of God like we do. So it's a big deal. If we want to help comfort the people in our community, we get the gospel to them. Once they get saved, they get an understanding of the Word of God. They get the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They get the family of God. They get the hope of Jesus coming again. So if we want to comfort the people in our community, it'll start with salvation. Oh, hey, I want to put shoes on their feet. We want to put a meal in their belly. But boy, we want to get Jesus in their heart. Boy, will that make a difference. The sermon's simple. It's just called comfort. Comfort. You take advantage of the comfort that's available to you, and then let's spread that comfort among the people that we live around. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, may I recommend to you that you get saved. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. I think there's been over a dozen people reported to me having trusted Christ today here at the church in one way or another, either in Sunday school, on a bus, or here in the church service. But look, if you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Christian, if you've been ignoring your Bible, you're weakening yourself. You will not be comforted like you need to. Christian, ask the Spirit of God to help you. Let that Spirit comfort you. Christian, let's encourage or comfort one another. And let's put it in our brain. Jesus is coming again. The storms will one day cease. Until then, we'll serve Him. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I've been challenged. I can take something away from this service, and it will help me to comfort myself and those around me. And God has spoken to my heart. Will you let God see your hand? We're going to have a time of altar call. I really believe there might be some people that need to come down here, get on your knees, and say, God, help me to be comforted, but help me to comfort others during these days. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Comfort. Comfort through the Word of God. Comfort through the Spirit of God. Comfort through the people of God. Comfort through that coming again of Jesus Christ that is on the horizon. Young people and adults alike, when you leave this place, this church, this weekend, go back into your community, go back to work, and let's comfort people. You calm yourself, then you help calm others. If you're not careful, you get so busy with the physical aspect of the job, helping people, helping with the flood, helping with the storm, you get so busy physically, you'll drain yourself of your spiritual energy. You've got to keep the Bible in your system and the Spirit of God active in your life. When you're at your end emotionally, when you're at your end physically, turn to the Word of God, turn to the Spirit of God, turn to the people of God, turn to the promises of God, and that'll give you the energy to take the next step. I'm really sorry, I have no new truth to give you about this sort of a thing. It's just true. This is what works. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the people of God. This is what works. This is what's carried the saints through all the centuries. This is it. We can't conjure up some sort of a Hollywood religion that will take you further. It's the old time religion that Jesus is the Word of God, and He is the epitome of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is what He is. Those things will enable you and strengthen you. That's what will get you through the storm. That's what will get you through the days after the storm. Jesus, His Word, His Spirit, His people, His church. This is the last time through the song. We'll pray and we'll be on our way.